radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.tv radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. Thank you for joining us today. It is March 16th, 2017. It's 8 o'clock in the morning here on the West Coast. Thank you for joining us. And please remember to share this radio station with your friends and family. We're a young, burgeoning radio station. We need you to share it. And you can look us up on YouTube. This podcast will be on YouTube. On UCY TV. So thank you for joining us again. This morning I have with us Shaziz, I guess we call him the mad scientist because he's mad and he's been with us before. Thanks, Shaziz, for joining us.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. So right before the show, you had sent me a couple of videos about technology that's out there. One was a little drone, a personal drone that you could automatically set and you could get the perfect ride. And you also showed me a little video about this little, I don't know, robot security guy. It was really creepy looking. But it's new technology that said, feel safe. It was like this half of a pod. It didn't even look like a person. It looked like half of a bullet on wheels, a big, gigantic bullet, didn't it?
Yeah.
That's kind of what, I mean, big. It was about 3 feet tall and wheeling its way through a parking lot. There's very bizarre looking, but why don't you talk about that? You said this, you know, ask me what's wrong with all of this, and let's get into that, because you were correct on this one.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, you know, what's wrong with the picture here? There's some amazing technology. It's like, it's got some awesome engineering going in there, and the things that these things are capable of doing. I mean, that little drone, for example, it'll literally just follow you around. It's autonomous. It'll follow your phone signal and send pictures back to you and do live streaming and all that kind of stuff. And on that scale right there, people need to recognize that if you can make something on that scale, you can scale it up or down to any size you want. The mathematics is there. Everything, the engineering is already done. It's amazing technology. And the little security drone that follows around and, you know, spies on everybody and all that kind of stuff. Not only is it creepy in the sense that, you know, you got people looking at you. You don't know who's behind those cameras. You know, it's kind of like George Orwell stuff. You know, it's really creepy. But what really ticks me off about the whole thing is that we've got access to technology that is so incredibly amazing. And when I start talking about things that we could do to improve efficiencies on engines or whatever like that, everyone wants to look at me all cross-eyed, like, well, you know, that if that was possible, they'd already be doing that. Prime example is talking about running cars on water. You know, Stan Myers was doing it in 1979. he didn't fare so well. He was the last time the conspiracy world said the last thing he was heard to say was on the way out of a restaurant. He said, "They poisoned me," and he died of a quote heart attack.
Well, you want to know what's an odd story about that? That you it's weird that you mention it. My grandfather actually invented an engine that ran on water. And that invention, they basically bought him out for like, this was way far back, like the 30s, 29 or 30, or maybe around that time. They paid him like $30 for the invention.
No
You know,
surprise.
He thought that was a big money. You know what I mean? It's like somebody being paid, I guess, $500 now. But I mean, they sucked. It's like I told you, my friends here in Eugene, they spent a year on this project. It's turning, gosh, it's not mold. It's that stuff that grows at the bottom of the pond. They
algae.
Take, yeah, algae, and they turn it into fuel. And they have this whole process. They sort of got it down, and they went up to Seattle to the energy seminar. I guess it was like a big convention up there with all the big guys, and it was just a big energy convention with booths and the whole thing, you know. And so they went to one of the seminars up there, and they came back so deflated because they discovered some guy from ExxonMobil came up and like kind of scoffed at him and said, "Yeah, we've got that technology. Here's our number. Check it out for yourself. Don't bother, guys. Don't bother putting in the patent. We have it."
Yeah.
And they did check it out, and they did have it. They thought the guy was a blowhard up there. They had a lot of fun. They made a lot of contacts. They came back and discovered, nope. Don't bother. They have the patent.
Well, you know, I don't want to get into all the specifics and take up all your time, but newsflash, everybody, you're already running your cars on water. If you take a look at the molecules of the fuel that's in there, and you'll find this nifty little term called hydrocarbon. So, yeah, there's already water in your fuel. It's just souped up a little bit, so to speak. But they've been using steam engines way back in the 1800s and prior, all the way up to modern day engines. We got induction heating technology.
Nuclear technology. Look what nuclear is, a big water turbine. Why did we think we have to have it up near water? They turn a lot of the turbines with water.
Well, nuclear is pure ridiculousness anyway. I don't know what the heck they were thinking. They're using a little bit of modern technology with some ancient technology and expecting never to have a problem. You're taking highly refined radioactive rods and you're boiling water. That's all you're doing. We're still boiling water. You know, and there's a better way to do it. You could do the same process as a nuclear reactor with noble gases and never have the radiation factor involved. So,
what?
That's what I've been trying to tell her, but I've got the equivalence of a nuclear reactor sitting right here on my desk. It's probably about maybe less than a foot long. And it doesn't do the same job like you would think in a nuclear reactor, how you put the highly refined radioactive rods in there, and then while the radioactive rods are depleting themselves or releasing energy, which in turn, because water is a dipole molecule, it vibrates the water and causes friction, which in turn causes heat, and then it will heat the water to steam. Well, you can do the same exact thing. With high voltage at the right frequency, you can energize gas into the plasma state, and you can heat water into steam. Same thing. And the thing about this is, if any problem goes wrong, because argon is a heavier molecule than air, it'll just float to the bottom, just like CO2 does. The process stops. There's no explosion, no chance of a hydrogen explosion, or none of that. It's just the process just shuts down because you sprung a leak, and so it's not vacuumed anymore. So
really, Shaziz, you know what we're talking about, what I said about my friends and what you just said, sitting on your desk, you have this technology. This really speaks to the industrial military complex. Them suppressing, because the real reality is, why do we have a nuclear program? It's to help the military have dominance, period. They want the nuclear industry, period.
Well, just
they want the nuclear bombs. They want the waste. It kills people. They want it. Our country is now selling depleted uranium weapons.
just for educational purposes, if everybody gets an opportunity to go out and watch a video called The Nuclear Scare Scam by Galen Windsor.
I have watched it many times.
Just listen to what the man has to say. There's a couple...
If you believe that, then you are going to die of cancer. Go ask all the people living around a nuclear power plant.
I'm saying that where people are missing out on what's going on with what he's talking about is there's a couple different factors going on, and we're not talking about the same type of radiation, the same type of energy as a nuclear bomb. Now, of course, if you get next to a highly radioactive rod, you're definitely going to have some serious problems. But you got to understand how radioactivity works to begin with and what's actually occurring while this is going on. Back during the time whenever Fukushima and Nagasaki went on, they said that, this is what I was taught in school, that it'd be anywhere from 100 to 1,000 to maybe 2,000 years or more before you could ever go back into that place. Because of the radioactivity. Well, I was standing there in 1984 in Tokyo, Japan. I went to where Fukushima was. Nagasaki.
Nagasaki and Hiroshima.
I went to the museums, and if you could have seen what I saw at those museums, you'd been amazed at the power and the destructiveness of what those two bombs actually did. However, the fact that remains is I was still standing there in 1984. I'm 51 years old right now. So some of what they...
You know what the problem is? This is the issue with what's wrong with that assessment. You don't know the damage you did to your future children. That is what's
possible.
Wrong with it. It takes 8 to 10 years for the effects of nuclear contamination, 8 to 10 generations, for that to show up.
Well, it's possible.
Dr. Caldicott said a minimum of, what was she? I mean, it's the latency period is 4 to 80 years.
What I'm trying to say is that we shouldn't have been using nuclear technology to begin with. There wasn't no reason to do it. I mean, we had the technology to have the type of reactor that I was talking back since the late 1800s.
So why didn't they use it? Why not? Why did they lie about it? Why did they? Do you have any insight onto that?
Well, my only thing is maybe it was easier to do, or for whatever purpose. I have no idea, but if you actually look up the price of what some of that stuff that they use for the whole radioactive process to build them rods and the actual value of uranium and stuff. You'd be surprised at how much money is involved in that situation. There's a lot of money involved in it.
What do you mean there's a lot of money involved? Why is there a lot of money involved? Well, in the system that we live in, if there's not a need, there's no money involved. The system collapses. So why is there? Because they shoved it on us?
Well, if you listen to what Galen Windsor talked about in the deal, he pretty much explains that there's a lot of money. Because the value of that, which in reality, because we're taxpayers, that money should have actually been the taxpayers' money.
No. This is what I'm saying. It's not. I'm talking about fundamentally under that. They're doing this. They created a fake value in the money. The premise is false.
Well,
I mean, why is it inherently valuable? It's a toxic substance that needs to stay in the ground, period.
Sure.
They knew that. That is the issue. They knew it by the time they went full scale. And in fact, to this day, they are continuing to ignore it.
I agree with you. I just...
That whole thing about Galen, I mean, that... can you tell I get a little bit like... my ears perked up.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's a pretty evil person, to be
honest.
He
may be, but the only reason why I brought that up is because you need to look at both sides of the fence to find out where the truth lies, because you ain't getting it from the government and you ain't getting it from
the where the truth lies? With the death of people and animals on this planet.
Well,
that's the
truth.
The truth is, Why are they doing it? It's not whether it's good or bad. It's bad. There is just no, the way they're doing it is 100% bad. It's a tech. John Goffman said this. Look, it's a powerful tool. We need to study it, but we don't need nuclear reactors. We need to be careful about how we're handling it. When they realize how can physically, he said in the early days, they didn't even, they didn't care. Everybody was exposed. You know what I mean? But John Goffman's wife got very ill from some weird disease, and she was able to, she had like this catastrophic event that happened with her, and she had to get surgery. I mean, when her baby was born.
Why would the government be, why would the government expose them, not only themselves and their own personal children and all of the rest of humanity to this type of danger, knowing that there was a potential of an explosion if something went wrong? It's like, I don't understand the mainstream scientists. I know they need to get money. All right. I know they want grants, and so they'll keep their mouth shut about either dangers or lack thereof or for whatever purpose. But at some time, when you come across a deal, this has been going on in Fukushima for about 6 years now. And I would think that as much danger as this poses to the environment, that every single government agency on this planet would be on top of it. And if they didn't have the answers by via the mainstream scientists, they'd be grasping at straws and asking guys like me, what do you think we can do about this? I mean, right
Amen
now.
to you, brother. You can say that as much as you want on this radio show, because that's why I'm here. It is stunning. I agree 100%.
You know, we got things that would cool that process down. There's the actual fuel, the control rods in there is made of a material that grabs up radioactive isotopes. That's one tool that we know that we could use against that. We've got liquid nitrogen that could help cool that down. It goes to minus 321 degrees Fahrenheit. So the whole process of
Does that
radioactive
negatively
heat.
interact, though, with nuclear
No, it's.
isotopes?
Anytime you freeze anything, it slows down. See, what's going on inside them rods right there is the rods are unstable. See, water's the most stable molecule on the planet. It don't like to be separated, and so it takes a little bit of doing to do it. But nonetheless, if you have highly radioactive rods down in water, and it's boi basically bringing up to its boiling temperature, and then a lot slightly there above. And you use the control rods to actually turn the volume up and down, so to speak, you know, to adjust the heat on there by grabbing up some of those isotopes as they're being released that are actually interacting with the water molecule. If anything goes wrong in that process, the heat, the pressure, and the steam will continue to build up until finally, with combustion ignitions, you literally get a hydrogen explosion. That's where the danger of the whole meltdown came about.
We had an explosion, several.
Well,
How can there possibly be rods? I don't believe that. I think what they have is rubble soaking in water. I don't think they have rods. That's why they're building an ice wall. You notice they're putting the ice underground. They're building this ice wall that's basically, the reports are, they're trying to figure out how, it's so hot, it's just turning the water, turning it into sludge. I read an article that said that the foundations are shaky.
Basically, since concrete's made up of got sand and stuff like that in there, sand essentially is glass, and you bring the sand up to a couple thousand degrees, and now you've got basically melted glass that's surrounding that. But
So the radioactivity, isn't that what they do when they, isn't that the process of vitrification?
what?
Vitrification, isn't that what vitrification does? Have you heard of that?
No, I'm not familiar with that terminology there.
Well, I wish I did wasn't, but let me I mean, this is not like something I really wanted to know, but because up here in at Hanford, they're building a vitrification plant.
This whole thing could be resolved. I mean, right now, the biggest danger that's going on is the fact that when you got all these water molecules energized like they are, it's producing a lot of heat. Well, that heat going into the ocean is a bad thing. It's really bad, because anybody's ever owned a fish tank knows that their fish are, whether they're freshwater or saltwater, they're temperature sensitive. And so you can't just put hot water into, you know, their environment, because they'll die.
Look, it's not just the hot water. See, this is the thing. This is what I really want people to grasp, though. It's not just hot water. It's plutonium, americium. It's the contaminants that are, like, poisonous, so bad to everybody's DNA. Cesium-137, I mean, there has to be processes where they can sort of remediate that. Isn't there? Like, this is all just cellular stuff. Can't they just sort of cellularly turn it around into something else?
Well, that, because of the way they crammed all these molecules together and made them yet even more unstable than they already are, you're going to always have that trouble until they finally deplete their energy and come back to the natural state that they pulled it out of the ground.
So you mean this plutonium, no matter what, that's it. We're in with it for the next long, long time.
Well, it needs to be guided where you want to get it out of the way, where it ain't going into the ocean. Because if you change temperature in the ocean, basic science shows you heat rises and cold falls, right? So with that said, you know, if you're changing the temperature of the water, you're also changing the Gulf Stream of the water. When you change the Gulf Stream, where it normally goes, you change the weather worldwide. And that weather on the ground also affects the jet stream up in the air, too. So you're going to change that weather, too. It's basic physics. You know, you blow hot air into a cold deal. It's how tornadoes are made. You know, it's a hot wind mixing with cold air, and then begins to rotate until you get so much power going on from all the, you know, hot air and cold air being crammed in together. So there's some serious issues going on. They got to stop it from going into the ocean at all costs. They got to stop it. It's like what you said earlier before we came on about how we're pretty much peeing and pooing in our own fishbowl. And eventually, you know, it's not going to be a pretty scene. You start breaking down the natural food chain of the ocean, you know, all the way from the little microorganisms to the little brine shrimp and so on down the line up to the fish and even the birds themselves. Once that food chain starts to collapse, it's a domino effect. It'll go worldwide.
And, well, the thing is, it's not just the hardest part is Fukushima is still going on, and they're still, but you know what, this is what I've discovered, Shaziz. It is not just Fukushima. This is why they're taking it with a grain of salt. This is their attitude. The whole nuclear industry, they just, Diablo Canyon directly pumps its waste right into the river right there off of the coast of California.
It's crazy. Well,
in France, they have pipes field. They built out to the Atlantic.
What they did with the BP oil spill, they don't realize how much future damage they've done to that doggone ocean. They're still, to this day, as far as I know, pumping that Corexit into the ocean.
Me too. That's what I've understood, too. People act like it happened once.
Common sense dictates if this stuff is there to sit down there and disperse oil, then that means it's either going to break it up or cause it to bind itself and float to the bottom, or, you know, whatever. It's supposed to break it up so that little microbes can eat up the oil. Well, you know, fish got oil in them. People got oil in them. Just about every carbon-based life form on the planet has oil in it. And so if it's breaking up the oil on the surface, imagine what it's doing to the fish down below.
And the microscopic, I mean, as it drops down, that's the thing, like as it, you know, gets into the bottom of the ocean, all those little microscopic energies, you know.
Sure.
I'm waiting for Godzilla to come out of the ocean. You know, there are little microscopic animals that live at the bottom of the ocean that thrive in radioactive contamination. They thrive off of very high levels of radiation.
Well, the doggone EPA is supposed to be there to protect the environment, and all they told the BP is, well, maybe you need to cut back on that, you know?
This is what I don't get about President Trump gutting the EPA. He ought to have gone in and fixed that and saying, instead of saying you're not effective, instead of going in and saying, hey, we're going to have a free-for-all, we're going to let everybody just start dumping their coal waste into the river, and you know, if we contaminate something, take us to court. That's kind of the response.
Well, the whole thing is, we got the technology to help nature clean this mess back up. But for whatever crazy reason, whether, you know, if you guys want to think maybe it's the depopulation of the planet, they're going to kill themselves in the process.
I think it's kind of a combination. I think there is a lot of people who think that you hear this frequently. People say, well, we have too many people. We have too many. No, we don't. We have, I don't, you know, like, especially if they let women have birth control. This is the ironic part. You know, they say, well, we have too many people on the planet, but we're not going to help women get birth control.
Well, I don't agree with the whole. I don't agree with the whole overpopulated, because I understand how nature works, but you know, nature balances itself out. Nature is good about doing that. Now, the problem we got is that we are making a mess faster than nature can clean it up.
That's right.
And so, with that said, we got to get our act together in a serious manner. And if governments out there in the world ain't taking this seriously right now, then you need to go around them and do it yourself, because it's just a matter of time. Your children are going to worry. They're going to be raised up in a world where they got to literally wear around gas masks just to get to school or something like that. And I know it sounds crazy, but look at the path we're on. You know, and I'm sitting here telling them that, you know, 6 years Fukushima's been going on. 6 years it's been having radioactive water basically flowing into the ocean.
And into the air. It's still spewing into the air. It's still swirling up in the atmosphere.
One of two things is going on here. Either the government's flat out stupid, or Galen Windsor was right and they did it for the money and they did it for the power. And I can't confirm 100% that Galen Windsor was right. I listened to everything he had to say on the subject, and I've watched the actions of the governments of the world. This should be mainstream news every single day until it's resolved, but yet it's not. And so you got a set of complacency, or whatever you want to call it, where people are basically, you know, sitting on their hands while, you know, we could be seeing the potential annihilation of all the population and all life on planet Earth until nature cleans it back up. You know, it might take thousands of years after man's gone, nature will put it all back together. Nature's powerful. But once again, there's a time frame there. You've got to allow nature to do what nature does best, and because there's no chemical that we've ever created on this earth that nature can't deteriorate. The question is, do we have time to wait around for nature to do the job? We should be working hand in hand with nature and working with all these different modern technologies and making things so incredibly efficient that they don't pollute. Even huge factories, we got the capability where you walk past a factory that normally spitting out crud, that thing would be clean as all get out. You could stand on top of that chimney and breathe the air, wouldn't even be affected. That's the kind of technology we have access to. When I say stuff like that, people look at me like I'm ridiculous. But back in the late 1800s, we had the answer to the whole nuclear problem before the nuclear problem ever even came about. The Mercury Arc rectifier, if you ever go look that thing up and you actually pay attention to the what that thing did back in that day, essentially it was a nifty gizmo whenever Edison had a DC infrastructure already in place, and then Tesla came in and won out with the AC current. He already had high voltage elevator motors that required high voltage DC to run. And so they had to find a way to rectify that AC current that Tesla was putting out in order to be able to run them elevator motors. Well, they came up with a mercury arc rectifier. Basically, it's a glass-looking octopus that has anodes and cathodes in there. There's a little tiny pool of mercury down in the bottom of this thing. You shoot high-voltage AC into it, which superheats the mercury, which is a liquid metal, vaporizes it into a gas. The high-voltage AC continues to come in, energizes that gas into the fourth state of matter, being plasma, pressurizes that chamber, and only allows electron flow in one direction. Therefore, you have the very first diode or DC rectifier that they was getting high voltage AC out the other side in order to run those elevator motors. And that's technology that science says light is heat and heat is light. So if you've got visible light going on, you also have heat going on. You know, the Beckett oil burner igniters that I use in my projects, they run in the milliamp range, about 1,000. Let me see if I read the specs off this thing right here. A 12-volt DC Beckett oil burner igniter has a secondary voltage of 17,500 volts. And
wow.
It only requires 45 milliamps and 150 volt amps to run that. Now, that is at a frequency of 50 to 60 hertz, which basically, you know, that's the, if you ever seen these things in action, at the frequency range of what these things are doing, they will literally burn through insulations of wire and start a fire, all right? These things are bad to the bone, and you know, they run off at 12 volts. Well, that energy can be guided, and you can get, because water will boil at 100 degrees Celsius or 212 degrees Fahrenheit, right? And at about 480 degrees Fahrenheit, paper will burn. And in the center temperature of that paper can reach 1,500 degrees. And, you know, the tips of the flames by themselves, 600 to 800 degrees. There's some focused heat energy that you could literally boil water with on demand. So you could use a noble gas using technology from the late 1800s, energize it into the fourth state of matter, being plasma, and get visible light off of it, get heat off of it, use that heat to boil the water. And if anything ever went wrong, you ain't got no radiation to contend with. You got a noble gas leak.
So I get it that, I mean, look, this is where I disagree with this guy, Galen Whalen. Isn't he the guy that said radiation had no effect? I think that he is grotesquely, but the one thing he was right about it was about the greed. It is based on greed and power, but it's not based on greed. And I mean, this is where it's all mescled, where it's all mixed up, because it's a clear indication that the military has taken over, because we don't need nuclear power. They want it for, look, just, I have to say, this morning it sent a chill up my spine. I mean, I honestly see the Trump Nation as being the final takeover of the military, of our government. And when I heard that Rex Tillerson wants to normalize relationships with North Korea, I don't know. I think they want to bring him under their wing. Those people make me nervous. So why are they all doing this? Why are they ignoring Fukushima? Why do they, I mean, how is it that scientists who know how terrible it is they're going to have this, quote, climate change march that's coming up shortly, is going to be all the scientists out in the street speaking up against Trump shutting down the EPA. You know what I'm saying? But why they're not talking about Fukushima. Why is that, Shaziz?
Well, common sense says either one of two things. Either they're flat out stupid, or it's not as big of a problem as they said it was. And the radiation portion of it, microwave ovens produce radiation. It's just
this is where I really disagree with you. I can't, look, we have empirical evidence. People are dying from nuclear pollution. Go tell that to the child born without a kidney or somebody.
I understand what you're saying. It's it's really, it's hard to explain this, but when those radioactive isotopes are being released from the rods as they're depleting, they're slamming into other atoms, which is releasing, I can't remember what the doggone terminology for it, but it's that release that sends out the energy that is causing the problem with the what you was talking about breaking
the mutagenic,
down.
It causes disease. We know that ionizing radiation causes disease, and it causes birth defects. Period. We know that.
But basically what's going on inside that reactor is the same thing that's going on inside your microwave oven. It's that energy release is sending out a wave that is interacting with...
But you know, the energy that it's sending out is entire... And frankly, I don't have a microwave either. I got rid of that a long time ago. No level of radiation is safe. We get enough from the sun. I mean, John Goffman even said that in his book. Natural radiation is hazardous. So yeah. Why on earth do we want to double it down and bring in radiation into our homes and into our lives?
Well, it that's why I say it's pure ridiculousness. When there's better ways to do it, there's more efficient ways to do it. You know, you don't have to refine these rods into some dangerous, highly radioactive rods. When the stuff is depleted, it's a misnomer to even say it's depleted.
Right.
All right, because these things have to sit in a cooling pond for 6 to 10 years while they're continually to deplete even more. The biggest danger of the rods, the way that they're manufactured now, right now, is the fact that you get pressure, you get heat, and you can literally superheat water with it because they're so hot that it boils the water. Well, after they get to the point where they're not efficient enough to boil the water to maintain the pressure necessary to run the turbines for the generating plant, then that's when they are considered depleted, and they'll put them in the ponds for 6 to 10 years so that they can cool down more before they can actually store them in barrels. Otherwise, if you stored them in barrels, if you pressurize a barrel from the heat inside there, the barrel will explode, and that will basically blast little chunks of all these rods everywhere. They're using depleted uranium in bullets, for Pete's sake. And they're spraying it all over the place. Depleted uranium is still radioactive.
Yes. Have you looked at the children of Fallujah in the Middle East, the cancers and the genetic mutations? They have told women in Fallujah not to have babies for 2 generations. For like at least a generation and a half, try to skip. They're telling people most of them are they are grotesquely deformed. And the reason we're not hearing about a lot of the deformities in Japan is they just don't talk about it. And they believe in abortion. Well, any woman, I mean, it's this I'm is not, the thing.
I'm not
My
trying.
Question to you is, as a scientist, is how within the community of the scientific community, is there who do we talk to get them to grasp these alternative ideas and to understand the gravity? Because I think a lot of the scientists are sorely misinformed. I think say exactly like what you say. That's what they all tell us. Well, there's no more difference in the radiation, but the difference is we have Fukushima ongoing that is causing catastrophic problems.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's not some significant dangers, because there is. All right, that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm trying to say, in certain states of how this is actually going on, these things, they say, will last anywhere from 25,000 years. You got this hot rod that's going to basically boil water and kill anybody that even gets even remotely close to it. What I'm saying, the governments out there know that Fukushima's going on. They know that this stuff is being leaked, and they've even talked about one of the solutions would be to dump some of this radioactive water into the ocean deliberately. And so if they're planning on doing this stuff, either one of the two things has happened. Either they're flat out mad, I mean, as in nuts, or there's something to what Galen Windsor was talking about. So I want to get to the bottom of it, because I don't want our oceans dying. I don't want our people dying. And something is seriously going on. I mean, as far as radiation making it over here, I did a video here a while back talking about these trees. There's weird burn marks on the trees now, whether it be from the chemtrailing or actually radioactive rain landing on these leaves. There ain't no reason why these leaves should have these burn marks all over them. And if I'm sure if you look in your area, you'll find them too. Look at your leaves on your
Well,
tree.
what's happening here is there's the tops of the trees, and there's this little town up in Crestwell, right? Sits snuggles up against the mountains. The tops of the trees are all dying, not the bottom of the trees, just the tops are dying.
It's a serious situation that really does need to be addressed. Now, maybe part of the reason why they're flying around spraying crud in the air is to try to put chemicals in the air that's actually going to disperse some of the radioactivity that they already messed
There's
up and
some
it's
train of
going to
thought. Some people have actually tried to connect that. I've heard that idea that they're doing that to sort of keep the whole, I don't know. I don't
I don't
understand the
I don't know because the government's pretty secret about it. Whenever you try to talk to anybody or ask the hard questions, the mainstream media ain't touching it, and everybody tells you you're a tinfoil hat nutcase. And I'm saying, look, it ceases to be a conspiracy theory when birds start dropping from the sky. When fish are going belly up and whales are beaching themselves and jellyfish are turning to mush, I would say we really do have a serious problem. And my whole being mad about this thing is that we got technologies available to us right now that we could guide this, corral it around in areas and put it where it needs to be until it's safe to be around. The
Yeah,
whole
but
entire area around Fukushima, there's what, 20-mile radius that nobody can go into except for 6,000 workers who go in there and risk their lives trying to figure out ways to get this stuff under control. Where's the rest of the governments from all the different nations of the world? Because their side of the ocean is going to be polluted by that side of the ocean as well. And everybody's affected in it. I mean, not trying to start a panic deal, but when do you start to panic? After everybody
Yeah,
dies?
I'm with you, brother. This is why I'm on the radio 5 days a week, because I'm with you. I can't believe people are willing to ignore this, and they just say, well, you're just, crazy. Well, and frankly, there's a lot of angry activists out there. They're very angry at the scientific community because the scientists are not jumping up and down going, wait a minute, this is like this March on Washington. This is the most annoying thing. We're going to march on Washington. Well, why the heck haven't they been marching 6 years ago when Obama said, don't worry, everything's fine, and flew to South America for 3 weeks?
Yeah,
You know
well,
what I mean?
the science guy's pretty much sold out humanity. If the problem is as
Yes.
bad as we think it is, then the science community dropped the ball, and they did it out of fear, or they did it out of greed for finance, for they can. What's the point of doing more future research on other bills if the whole planet's going to die? You see what I mean? It's ridiculous. If I was in the mainstream and had any credibility with all the congressmen and senators and stuff like that, I'd love to sit down and talk with them about solutions to all kinds of issues out there. They won't listen
Who's
to a
your
guy like
sen who's your congressman and who's your senator?
me. Shoot, I don't even know over here anymore. I
Well,
need
find out and go sit down with them, make an appointment with them, and bring them some ideas.
That's a good plan. I get on the
I
phone and
mean, just
find
call
out.
them up and say, hey. And you know what? It's a pain in the ass because honestly, my own congressman here, Pete DeFazio, I haven't called Jeff Merkley, but Ron Wyden, I called up to make an appointment with them, and they're like, oh, okay, we'll have so and so call you back. And I didn't tell them I had a radio show. I just said, as a citizen, I wanted to just go meet them. And they're like, okay, well, we'll have so and so call you back. He'll schedule, because you don't get to meet with the congressman, you meet with their staff. And so you can probably go drop something off, but if you want to talk to somebody about it, all you get is 15 minutes most of the time. So don't get all huffy because they're not talking to you because they only give you 15 minutes. They're busy. They're very, very busy with lunches. I
Oh
don't know.
yeah.
You know what I mean? I have no idea what they're busy doing, but they don't get to talk to us and their staff. But then you give them enough time, and if you use that time well and bring information and hand it to them, give them something. to look at so that they can read it, because they will, they do have staff that reads it.
Well, and it gives me a headache, because I'm feeling the urgency, just like everybody else out there, feeling the urgency to get something resolved, and people are dragging their feet.
Yeah.
You know, the main science community ought to be saying, hey, you know, this is like really seriously a problem, and instead all what we hear about is...
Have you contacted the Union of Concerned Scientists and talked to Dave Lockbaum or anybody at the Union of Concerned Scientists that are... you know, telling everybody, don't worry, Fukushima is not so bad. Have you given any of those people a phone call?
No, but I should. That'd be an exciting phone call.
And you should record it. Well, you have to look at the recording laws in your state. In our state, you have to tell the other party they're being recorded.
I did email the president, and to this date, still hadn't even got so much as a stamped letter back saying, yeah, we heard you, bye.
Oh yeah, well that just that which president, Obama?
No, the one in office right now. I just got through. I actually posted a copy of it on Facebook because I figured the president would never lay eyes on it. So I made sure everybody seen. I did write him a letter and told him we got the solutions available, and that if he ever wanted to sit down and have a talk.
I don't think they have a staff. I know that I haven't checked lately, but I did a video on this. I tried to call the, because I always call my congressman. I have a list of their phone. I call it a lot of congressmen and senators and give them my 2 cents, as I'm not going to let them go to sleep at night and do the things they do without hearing from somebody. So I called the president's office, and when I don't know if they've resolved this, but there's no way to. There's nobody answering the phones at the White House. They say, send us an email at whitehouse.gov, which you can get the address online, or contact us through Facebook Messenger. They're promoting. I mean, do you get this? The President of the United States is promoting. Like, even yesterday I heard him say, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Twitter. Like, he's literally promoting these two private corporations. It's astounding. So I don't know how we're going to get through. I think we just need to keep calling them, Shaziz. I think that I would love for you to get more actively engaged contacting your senators, because you know what? And you have to be dogged. You have to keep going back to them and talking to them, and talk to your utility companies. You know, make an appointment. I mean, we were talking about that yesterday with Karen, who was on my show. She's an activist. We actually need people to get active, and especially you. You understand all this stuff, and you're reasonable.
The terminology I was looking for earlier, the damaging portion that you're talking about, is about messing with DNA, is gamma rays, because it's penetrating electromagnetic radiation from the decay of the rods. Basically, the gamma rays flying out there fast, damaging your DNA and stuff like that. See, now that's an issue. So I'm not trying to sound like I'm trying to reduce the danger or the urgency of radioactivity. I'm just trying to put it in perspective as at what stage this becomes a serious issue. You see what I'm saying? A microwave.
It's past the stage.
Well,
to
I
be
agree.
Honest, even before Fukushima was here, it was past the stage. We have had ongoing nuclear contamination for 70 years. And it's not just from the nuclear power plants. It's not just from the nuclear testing. It's from the uranium mining. These uranium mines in the United States is over 15,000 abandoned uranium mines. The cancer rate on Native American lands is off the chart. Something like, I think I heard 90% of Native American men die of cancer.
Well, it's a shame, and it shouldn't be. We've even got alternative medicines out there that will literally cure cancer, but you can't get them on the shelf because the doggone Food and Drug Administration got their pockets filled with somebody else's hands.
True that. Well, and, it's not. It's,
you know, it's ridiculousness. That's why I say I call it mad science, because I'm sitting here looking at, I'm stepped back. I look at the big picture of everything. I don't just go into panic mode when I see, you know, there's a problem going on. I step back. I look at all the deals. I check out all the science of it. And, you know, when I see that there's a serious issue, such as what they did with the BP oil spill, I was telling them back in them days, don't dump that crud in that ocean. you're going to regret it. And there were thousands of people that were sending them all kinds of information on natural ways to absorb that oil up, natural ways to corral it, pump it up out of the ocean, and at least keep it contained until you could get it under control. But you know that not one of those ideas were ever listened to? None of them.
Right,
BP
not
had the
one.
free run.
Not that's true. Not one. That
And
is
their
true.
solution was to mask it by putting in some doggone Corexit that is basically devastating our oceans right now. And
And
you
not
know
only the
mainstream
oceans, our
science?
people. Our people are being devastated. And the I mean, people are the are already the south the mouth of the Gulf, people were die had really high cancer rates because of the way the Mississippi flows down and all of the garbage goes into there. So it was like cancer run down there, but it is bad. Not just that, but people are getting heart attacks from the Corexit. I mean, the contamination that it causes,
The
it's
mainstream scientists should be out there en masse trying to get in front of any camera. You know, there's one jerk that runs around and he'll run up behind a live TV crew and foul mouth and run off. I mean, he's a hoot of the whole internet. Everybody thinks that's funny. Where are the doggone mainstream scientists coming there, standing behind the camera saying, "Look, we got a problem. You might want to take a look at this." But the average Joe out there don't understand what's going on. They got enough time to watch that guy foul mouthing behind the camera, but they ain't got enough time to find out what we need to do to resolve an issue such as Fukushima or the BP oil spill for that matter. And if the government agencies of the world can't get the job done, I'm saying it's going to take a group of average Joes to understand the physics and the science of it and get out there and do it themselves. These guys, they are literally letting the entire future of humanity down if this is as bad as what we think it is, and they're not out there shouting at all four points of the compass saying, "Look, I've studied science all my life, and I'm telling you, we have a serious problem here." But you're not seeing that, either for fear or greed or whatever purpose. I'm disgusted with the science community. They can talk a lot of smack about how we found alien life on another planet, but by God, they can't get out there and save the one they're standing on. Something ain't right.
Yeah, I actually heard a scientist say, "Well, we know the only way to save humanity is for humans to leave this planet." I'm like, "Say what?" I was furious. I was so
Yeah.
livid. And he was teaching students. I saw him on C-SPAN. They call him, well, anyways, I'll find his name. He's the a black he's called the Thug Scientist. And he's like, "Yeah, Google me," because he's a super genius guy, and he teaches Thug physicists. It popped right up as soon as I put thug in. How weird is that? That'll tell you how much people look up to this guy, because he is a black man who supposedly like did really great things with his life, and he was teaching these students and said, "Well, we're gonna have to leave the planet." I'm like, wow, no, we're not gonna leave the planet. Why not? You were right about this, Shaziz. So what could, okay, so let's say there's some citizens out there that are going to take heed and want to just forget. I mean, what can people do? What do you suggest? What's your suggestion for people to engage?
Well, first off, sit down and take a crash course on how a nuclear reactor actually functions in the entire process, including the control rods down there and the materials used to grab up the radioactive isotopes. Look at all the different physics of heat exchange and everything that.
Okay, so wait a minute. This is where you lose people like me. You have no idea how much I have attempted to conceive this stuff. I mean, I don't think you even comprehend. Like, I barely, I got a D in physics. You got that?
Basically,
Like, I'm not dumb, but it's hard for me to get these
right
concepts.
now we know that they got materials that they call control rods that basically grab up radioactive isotopes and
Right.
slow down a process. So that's one tool in our arsenal in order to be able to at least reduce the release long enough to keep this thing stable until we cool it down. When you cool something down, the molecules will start to move slower. See the what they deplete because they're interacting like a catalyst in the air, or the water, whichever they're setting in. And so by slowing that process down, you slow down them atoms that are banging around on each other and reducing the heat yet again. And you, if you get to in a containment where you know you can keep the temperature down to a certain point, see, that's why they put them in them cooling pools for 6 to 10
yeah,
years.
But how do that's all the background science. But look, I honestly don't think we have the time for people to educate themselves on the physics.
Well, then get a bunch of backhoes out there and dig a moat around that thing and make sure that none of that can get up out of there. They're using water to cool down the rods. All right. Well, they're pumping this out by thousands and thousands of gallons.
Yeah,
there's no
it's
reason
so
why
outrageous.
You could use the same water and a heat exchanger. You build a massive heat exchanger that will use the cool air blowing through there to literally take away that heat. And you can recirculate the same water. So you're not adding to the amount of water that has to be stored every single time. You see what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah.
But what they're doing is they're pumping water out of the ocean. They're basically using it, and they're trying to store this water in huge tanks. And they could be reusing that water, cooling that water down, filtering that water, grabbing up any particles in that water into big filters that they could then in turn, store safely. And then using that water to keep recirculating and recooling that deal down. It'd be a little bit of a long process, but it's a lot better than the alternative of just allowing it to go down into the ocean.
I think we need to lean into this on our congressmen and senators and constantly remind them and put pressure on them. They're not going to twist quickly, but if we put, I mean, if enough people were to really call their offices regularly and say, look, this is ongoing, we cannot, and like the Corexit, I mean, all these different places, I mean, I said this to Levy Halevy offhandedly. I feel like we're in a war zone. This is just so outrageous when we look at the contamination that's going on inside the United States. Like, we're getting bombarded from Fukushima, the nuclear contamination, the chemical pollution. The Corexit off the Gulf Coast is destroying the beautiful Gulf. They're still doing it, and they're still leaking oil fields out there.
Well, the first step to the Corexit is to stop dumping it in the water. So everybody should be on the doggone phone to the EPA and saying, look, you can't allow them to dump any amount of this stuff into the ocean. There are natural ways to gather that oil up or contain it.
That's right.
You know, but that's the thing. These folks are getting paid money by people to either shut up or, basically allow them to do whatever. BP is a big business. They got lots and lots and lots of money, and they got a lot of investors out there. And so you start targeting those people in the wallet, then you'll start getting their attention. I mean, stop buying from any doggone gas company that has BP even remotely related to it. Watch how fast you get their attention.
That's right. That's right. Well, look, Shaziz, we have less than a minute left, about 40 seconds. You've been listening with Lonnie Clark and Shaziz, the mad scientist, as you can tell, appropriately mad. I would say also angry, not just mad. Thank you, Shaziz, for joining us. I really appreciate it. You can catch him at Shaziz.com. He does have his podcast and all of his radio shows there. Thanks, Shaziz, for joining us. This has been really quite stimulating. I hope you'll come back again.
Oh, anytime. I appreciate you having me on your show.
I really do. I appreciate you coming on.
We got to fix this mess.
Yes.
We can fix this mess. It is doable, but we ain't got a lot of time.
Put your courage feet on. Take action, you guys.
JJ Inc. from Against the Wall, and you're listening.